Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. I am so excited to be here with you this evening. I'm excited to be able to share with you again in this celebration of Christmas. I love this night. I love the gathering. I love the people that do double duty with me at this service. Thank you all at the 3 o'clock barn service. If you weren't there, it was amazing and an awesome work. And so I just want to say a word of public thanks to Darlene DeMott and to all of her team for that. Darlene, where are you? Thank you. The barn service is tremendous, and might have been a record crowd this year with the sun. I mean, it was just unbelievable. So what a great time. It is indeed a holy experience, Christmas. You think of all the things that are a part of your experience, and probably being here is a part of that tradition for you. There are so many things, and for me, I know that I think about the great passages of Scripture that speak to me at this time, and I'm not sure if anything speaks more fully to me than the words that we heard from Isaiah. You know, those words are universal. And when he says, and when we heard, as we heard Rachel read, the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of darkness, on them light has shined. That idea of darkness and light. How often in our lives do we live in the midst of darkness? And so this promise of light that comes to us on this night is very special. And so, as I was starting to think of something that would speak to light in the midst of darkness, that would give a kind of a symbol, something that we could rally around at this particular time of year, particularly at the end of 2015, I tried to think of what would be the perfect thing for us to use as an image for light in the midst of darkness. And I'm not sure that anything at this point in time will be better than this. Take that, darkness. Right? As you know, this is Greg Brondosis. As you know. But I asked him if I could borrow, and I did, because I don't know about you, but apparently there's a movie that's been out. People were kind of excited about it. It was exciting. It was great during the Advent season to be talking about waiting, and people could actually get it because they were waiting for Star Wars Episode 7 to show up. But as we look at all of the different Star Wars movies, one of the things that is real about them is that there is this clash of good and evil, right? The light and the dark, right? The dark side of the Force, and the good side of the Force. That's all a part of our lives, isn't it? But one of the things, if you look at Star Wars, if you look at all the different characters, particularly Anakin, one of the things you'll notice is what? That we are made up of what? Both dark side and light. So light that comes in the midst of the darkness is not just a dichotomy of let's all, you know, we can all be just the good people versus the bad people. It's not like that. It's not a reality of the only these are the people who are in and these are the people who are out. Although certainly Star Wars kind of portrays it that way in some ways, and all other great movies do too, that have the good guys and the bad guys. But we all know, don't we, that life is way more complicated than that, isn't it? That our lives are full of light and dark. And one of the realities of that is that in our lives, we can be pulled in different ways. We can be pulled both towards the light and towards the dark. Recently, we've talked a lot about people in our world who are being radicalized. We've heard about people in our country who have been when they came to America. They've been radicalized, we say. Often these people are of Middle Eastern descent. And when we talk about Middle Easterners who have been radicalized, what do we think about? We think about terror. We think about people radicalized toward not the light, but dark. Radicalized even towards hate. Well, as Christians, one of the things that we're called to do is to love our neighbor, but what that might also mean is recognizing our history. And one of the realities is as we gather together tonight, we heard a story about a Middle Eastern family who was radicalized. Not radicalized for hate, but radicalized for love. Could you imagine that perhaps on the night that this all occurred, that perhaps our characters would have had something to say about that? Perhaps Mary would have said something like this. Perhaps Joseph said something like this.
The baby radicalized me for love.
Perhaps the shepherds said something like this.
The baby radicalized me for love.
And maybe even those foreigners of a different religion, the magi, the wise men, would have said something like this. You see, in a world where to be radicalized is to seen in the negative, perhaps really what this world needs to bring a little more light into the midst of the darkness is a radicalization of love. A radicalization of what happened to a young unwed mother who finds out that she's pregnant and has to tell her husband, who could have killed her, yet he did not out of love, and instead he brought her with him and gave her a home. Perhaps someone who could have been radicalized like these marginalized at the very lowest station of the society, shepherds, were met by God's angels that night, and they hear a word that says, this baby, this story, this amazing gift of grace is for you and for you and given for you. And so they believe it and trust it, and they're radicalized towards love and to come and see that baby, perhaps like these magi from a whole nother region of the world and a whole nother religion, know something is up, that God is on the move, and indeed they are so radicalized that they come, they lie to the leaders of Judea, Herod, they lie to him so that they can save the baby, and they go and visit him himself. That to me is radical love. The kind of radical love that I believe our Lord is calling you and me to. You know, it's not lost on me that this lightsaber is really a weapon. And I understand that it's used as a weapon. Wow, I kind of look like a Jedi. But ultimately, I would have you see it tonight kind of like this. As remembrance of the light making the sign of the cross on you when you were baptized, when you were called by God into the light. The reality is that you will have dark days. Perhaps you're experiencing them now. Maybe they or because you lost a job, or because you got a diagnosis that is pretty scary. Maybe it's loss of a relationship. Maybe you're worried about paying off all the Christmas presents that you bought already that you're handing out the next couple days. I don't know. But darkness will come. Darkness is. And darkness will be a part of our life. Yet the promise of this night, of the God who has come near, who has made His home with mortals, is that whatever darkness you ever experience, whatever darkness may come your way, it cannot and it will not ever be able to consume the light. The light will shine in your darknesses. The light will shine in the midst of your dark nights. The light will shine in the midst of those moments of uncertainty and doubt and frustration and pain, because, as Isaiah has reminded us, we are the people who walk in darkness. But the darkness cannot overcome us because the light shines too bright. The light shines too strong. The light shines forever for you. And for you, and for you, and for you. Because simply put, God's love is radical. And God's love will be there always for you, through you, in spite of you, but most importantly, to save you. In Jesus' name, amen.